Railway Children, a classic story by E. Nesbitt, adapted by Jill Munton. Chapter 1. Three Chimneys. They weren't railway children at first. They were just ordinary children. Roberta, Peter and Phyllis had a very happy life. They lived in a big red brick house with their father and mother. Father worked in an office, and Mother spent her days at home with the children. She played with them and read to them and helped them with their homework. She wrote stories for the children and read them aloud after tea. They had a cook and three maids to look after them all. They had nice clothes and good food and lots of toys and a dog called James. But one day, everything changed. It all started just after Peter's 10th birthday. Mother and Father gave him a toy engine. Peter loved it. He played with it all the time, until it broke 3 days later.
"Father will mend it," said Peter. "He can mend anything."
After dinner, Peter showed Father the broken engine. Father looked at it carefully. "I can mend it," he said. "I'll do it on Saturday afternoon. You can all help me if you like." Peter frowned.
"Can girls help to mend engines?" he asked.
"Of course they can," Father laughed. "Girls are just as clever as boys, Peter. Would you like to be an engine driver, Phyllis?"
"I would," replied Phyllis. "But my face would always be dirty, and I'd probably break something."
Phyllis was the youngest of the three children. She was rather clumsy.
"I'd love to be the firewoman, the one who keeps the fire burning to power the engine," said Roberta. She was the eldest.
Just then, someone knocked on the door. Two men had come to see Father. He went into another room to talk to them. Through the wall, the children heard the men's loud voices as they talked. Mother started to tell them a new story about a princess with green eyes. Then one of the men came in and asked her to join them. After a while, the voices stopped and the children heard the front door open and shut. Mother came back into the room. Her face was white and she was crying.
"It's bedtime, children," she said softly.
"But,"
said Roberta,
"Father has gone away on business, and now it's bedtime."
Peter and Phyllis went upstairs to bed. Roberta whispered to her mother,
"What's happened, Mummy? Is it something terrible?"
"I can't tell you, Roberta. Now go to bed, please," replied her mother.
In the morning, Mother was nowhere to be seen. Ruth the maid told the children that Mother had gone to London. Then she made them breakfast. Mother was not there at lunchtime either, or at tea time. When Mother finally came in at 7 o'clock, she looked very tired. So Phyllis took her hat, Roberta made her a cup of tea, and Peter fetched her slippers. At last Mother spoke.
"I have some bad news for you," she said. "Father will be away for a long time. I will be away sometimes too."
"Is it something to do with the government?"
asked Roberta. She knew that Father worked in a government office nearby.
"Yes, it is," replied Mother. "But we will be all right. While Father is away, you must all help me. Now, please don't ask me any more questions."
She kissed the children goodnight. The next few weeks were terrible. Mother was away a lot, so Aunt Emma came to stay. Aunt Emma was kind, but she was much stricter than Mother. One morning, Mother came down to breakfast, looking very pale.
I have something to tell you, Mother said. We are going to leave London to live in the country.
How long will we be there?
Asked Peter. I don't know, but I found a pretty house called Three Chimneys. You'll love it, replied Mother. For the rest of the week, the family packed up all their furniture. Then a van came and took it to Three Chimneys. Peter went to bed on the sofa that night.
This is fun, he said,
as Mother and Roberta kissed him goodnight.
I wish we could move house every day, don't you, Mother?
Mother laughed. I don't, she said with a smile. She turned away, but Roberta saw the tears in her eyes. In the morning, the family put the rest of their things in boxes. After lunch, a taxi came to take them all to the station. They said goodbye to Aunt Emma and set off to Three Chimneys. It was a long train journey, and they soon got tired of looking out of the window at the countryside. One by one, the children fell asleep. Eventually, Mother whispered, "We're here. Wake up." Sleepily, the children looked around. It was dark in the carriage now. Carefully, they climbed off the train and stood shivering in the cold night air on the dark platform. Some men took their boxes off the train and put them on a cart. They all felt cold and lonely as they watched the train's taillights disappear into the darkness and back to London. At that moment, they didn't know how important the station and the trains would become to them. They didn't know they were going to be the railway children. They just hoped that Three Chimneys was not too far away. As there were no taxis at the station, the family had to walk to their new house. They stumbled along the dark and muddy road, following the cart of luggage. Then Phyllis fell into a muddy puddle. She stood up and carried on walking, damp, muddy, and unhappy. At last Mother cried, "Look, there's the house." She pointed to a dark shape on their right. "Mrs. Viney will be there, but I can't see any lights."
"Who's Mrs. Viney?"
asked Roberta.
"She's a lady from the village," replied Mother. "I sent her some money and asked her to clean the house for us, sort out the furniture, and make us some dinner."
On the other side of a low wall were some gloomy black trees.
"That's the garden," explained Mother.
The children looked at it unhappily, while the cart clattered round the back of the house and stopped at the back door. Mother and the children followed. They all knocked on the door, but no one came.
"Your train was late, so Mrs. Viney must have gone home," said the man who drove the cart.
"But I haven't got a key," sighed Mother. "We can't get in without a key. What can we do?"
"Look under the mat," the man said.
He bent down, picked up a key, and unlocked the door. He went in and put his lantern on the table.
"Have you got any candles?" he asked.
I don't know," replied Mother. "I'll look for one."
Mother found a candle, and the man lit it. Now they could see the room more clearly. It was a large, bare kitchen with a dirty stone floor. There were no rugs or curtains. Some of their furniture was there, but there was no fire and no dinner. The man brought in the boxes from the cart. As he turned to go, they heard a rustling sound.
"What's that?"
asked Phyllis.
"Don't worry," said the man. "It's only the rats."
He went out and shut the door behind him. Phyllis went pale. She hated rats.
"What fun!" Mother laughed.
It's quite an adventure, isn't it, children? Their faces look gloomy in the candlelight.
Now let's go and find our dinner, suggested Mother. Perhaps Mrs. Viney put it in the dining room.
The dining room was dark and cold and full of their old furniture. There was a table and chairs, but no dinner. They looked in the kitchen again, but there was nothing to eat. They found a cake tin in the pantry, but it was empty. Mother was very upset.
The house is dirty, the furniture is in a muddle, and there is no food, she sighed.
Phyllis was very hungry.
Can't we have any dinner?
She asked.
I'll find something, replied Mother. I'll open one of those big boxes.
Peter held the candle while Mother opened the box. It was quite difficult because it was nailed shut.
We need to pull the nails out. Where's the hammer, Mother?
Asked Peter.
It's inside the box, said Mother, as she tried to poke out the nails with a coal shovel.
At last the box was open. They looked inside.
Oh, good! Some more candles! Cried Mother. Go and light them, girls.
How many?
Asked Roberta.
As many as you like, replied Mother.
Roberta and Phyllis lit 14 candles. Then Roberta fetched coal and wood from the cellar and lit a fire. The room looked much more cheerful now. The children tidied the furniture and Mother got a picnic ready. They were all very tired, but they laughed as they ate biscuits, tinned fish, raisins and jam.
What a funny dinner, laughed Mother. We must thank Aunt Emma. She packed up everything that was left in the pantry.
Aunt Emma had packed clean sheets too, and the beds were soon ready.
Good night, children, said Mother. I'm sure there aren't any rats, but if you hear one, call me, and I'll come straight away.